Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, we are getting into the thick of it. Tomorrow night, we have three shows beginning performances on Broadway. Tonight, we have one show beginning performances on Broadway. Tonight will be Hell's Kitchen over at the Schubert Theater. And then we have on Friday night, the Heart of Rock and Roll, The Great Gatsby, and The Wiz over at the Marquee. So lots of things happening. I cannot wait to kind of like pour through all the social media reactions from friends who are going to all of those early previews and check out what the word on the street is. If you want to hear all of the details about the entire upcoming Tony eligibility season, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio or BroadwayRadio.com/Patreon to get all of our thoughts there. All right, speaking of Tony season, Grace, yesterday we got the announcement of who will be hosting the Tony Awards this year, and it will be the same as the previous 2 years, as Oscar winner and Tony nominee Ariana DeBose will take over the mantle for the third consecutive time. The one difference this year, one of the differences this year, is that the ceremony will be held at Lincoln Center's David H. Koch Theater. It will take place on June 16th, and as it has in the previous couple years, the Tony Awards : Act One will happen on Pluto TV for free, and that will happen, usually I think they've been doing it an hour to an hour and a half beforehand, depending on the year. More details about who will be hosting that will come in the coming weeks. Now, Grace, this is a fairly historic announcement for Ariana DeBose. She becomes just the fifth person in Tony Awards history to host in three consecutive years. How many of those other four can you name?
I think I can name some men. Neil Patrick Harris. Am I crazy?
No, Neil Patrick Harris from 2011 to 2013.
Hugh Jackman.
2003 to 2005.
And then I don't know the rest.
The first one was Buddy Collier, who I don't even know who that is, from 1957 to 1959. And then from 1987 to 1989 was Angela Lansbury. She is actually the person who has hosted the most. She has hosted five times. Neil Patrick Harris, Hugh Jackman, Nathan Lane, and Robert Presson have all hosted four. So if DeBose hosts in 2025, she will tie NPH, Jackman, Lane, and Preston, but she will become the first person to ever host 4 years in a row. We will see what happens there. Of course, another difference between this and last year is the fact that Ari will actually have the opportunity to work with writers this year. Obviously, she did in 2022, but last year, because of the various strikes that were happening across Hollywood, everything was more or less improvised or off the cuff last season. And I thought that she did a fantastic job. Her and her team and the dancers and everybody really were tremendous in keeping that show moving, which I think it very easily could have gone off the rails. And I said it after the ceremony last year on our recap episode, where I thought I would be fine with just her doing it. She's got enough theater kid energy, Grace, to make it seem earnest, but she also has so much talent that she can kind of be game for anything. And we've seen her have ups and downs with different awards shows appearances in the past, but I think this is a pretty great move, and I'm excited to see what she comes up with this year, especially with it happening in a new venue over at Lincoln Center.
I agree with you. I think she was a fantastic host. It's fabulous to have somebody that is also like currently in a I just watched Argylle. Like, she was just in this major, motion picture. And I think it's nice to see people that have transcended not only the theater spaces, but also TV and film, and people that are actively working in the industry that are young and fresh, and especially a woman of color, a queer woman of color. And I just think it's great. So more of this. Listen, I asked for Wayne Brady last year. We got Ari DeBose. That's fabulous. Wayne is very busy, obviously, right now being the Wiz, but maybe next year I can have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless Ari does it again for the fourth time. And she just, there was another major announcement with Ari in it on Tuesday, where she was announced to be co-starring in a new film opposite Ki-Hee Kwan in a movie called With Love. And that's kind of incredible because she presented him with his Oscar, and she broke down in tears when she did it as well. So I think that is very, very exciting to see what happens with that film moving forward. All right, from one big night on Broadway to a fictional big night on Broadway, over in London earlier this week, we got the official opening night of opening night. It is a new musical based off of the cult classic John Cassavetes film, and it features a book and direction by Ivo Van Hove and music and lyrics by Rufus Wainwright. It features a cast that includes Sheridan Smith, Hadley Fraser, Benjamin Walker, Amy Lennox, and more. It is based on a film that was like kind of overlooked when it was originally released in the 70s, but has become a cult favorite. And it follows a theater company's preparations to stage a new play on Broadway. But drama ignites backstage when their leading lady is rocked by tragedy, and her personal turmoil forces everyone to deliver the performance of their lives. Now, Grace, last week we talked about Water for Elephants reviews being incredibly polarizing. I don't know that they have anything on these reviews, because as I'm looking at it, these are more negative overall than the Water for Elephants ones were. But as I scroll through them, it's interesting to me that all of the British legacy outlets are more positive than the other ones. So I'm going to start with the positives, and then we'll kind of work our way down from there. Arifa Akbar, writing for The Guardian, said, quote, "Unadventurous musical adaptations of films comprise a crowded corner in the West End, but this one seems to shake up musical theater itself. It may be the most unusual thing on the London stage right now and is captivating in its glittering strangeness." Going over to Time Out London, Andrzej Lukowski gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, "There are no dance numbers, power ballads, lavish sets, or cute romantic storylines. By entering the West End, opening night is almost inevitably inviting an audience that will be confused by it. And yet, there's a palpable warmth to it. Maybe it's a musical, maybe it isn't, but under all the avant-garde bells and whistles, it unquestionably has a heart, a buoyancy and belief in humanity that's lacking in the original film." And then finally, Patrick Marmion, writing for the Daily Mail, said, quote, "Thank God also for Rufus Wainwright's music. True, it sometimes dwindles into semitonal burbling, but it also explodes with the singer-songwriter's gift for doomed glory. A spectacular duet with Nicola Hughes as an exacerbated writer character even brought to mind the brassy swagger of All That Jazz, the 1979 film starring Roy Scheider. More than anything, though, it's thanks to the emotional wattage of Smith's voice that the show really soars. To quote the lyrics of one of her early numbers, she makes, quote, magic out of tragic." But some of the other reviews were not as kind. Human Barakat, writing for the New York Times, said, quote, "In a London auditorium, a work of art is being desecrated. Opening night, John Cassavetes' understatedly stylish 1977 film about an actress struggling in midlife ennui has been reimagined as a musical by the Belgian director Ivo Van Hove, and the result is a tragedy." David Benedict, writing for Variety, said, quote, "At the start of the second half of Ivo Van Hove's production of his new musical version of John Cassavetes' ultra 70s backstager opening night, the words the aftermath in fashionable lowercase appear on the large screen that dominates the stage. The trouble is the preceding storytelling has been so muddy and the emotional temperature of the staging so leadenly unchanging that audiences may be asking the aftermath of what?" And I'll wrap up with Trent Krim's colleague over at The Independent, Alice Seville, who was admittedly mixed, saying, quote, "Anyone who bought tickets to opening night in the hope of seeing it star Sheridan Smith treating us to a bit of the thespy, funny girl style razzle dazzle is in for a serious shock. Belgian avant-garde theater director Ivo Van Hove's musical set backstage during a show is determinedly unflashy and oblique, dimly illuminated by singer-songwriter Rufus Wainwright's operatic torch songs. In fact, it feels a bit like the whole cast is trolling musical theater fans. They linger like bedraggled pigeons in the corner of a vast, unornamented stage, capturing the inertia rather than the glamour of backstage life. It's flawed, but intermittently haunting." So, Grace, I knew very little about this original film or about what this show was going to be like, but I'm honestly incredibly intrigued by these reviews because they are so polarizing. There are things that make me be like, oh yeah, that sounds like something Ivo would do. He would completely subvert what everybody thinks this musical is going to be. But then it's also like, it also kind of sounds boring. So I'm not sure what to make of this, but I like the idea of original musicals, or I mean, new musicals, I guess, pushing the envelope of what theater can be.
I agree. What the hell are those reviews? I've never, I mean, I feel like we're in an age where it's people are like, I loved it. I want to give birth to it as a child. And then literally the other end of being like, burn it at the stake. I can't believe we need to defund the arts. Like, I just need somebody to like actually take a pulse on the arts right now and criticism, because it's kind of weird. That's just me.
Do you think that is just because of where we are with intellectual property coming to the stage? Or is it about like, I need to get clicks and social media likes? Or what do you think is adding into that? Because we've always had polarized reviews, but it does feel like the middle consensus doesn't exist as often as it used to in the past.
Yeah, I don't think that we're in a space to do that. Like, I think that because of the nature of sensationalism and journalism, things like that, everyone's like, it's all clickbait, and which I get, you know, everyone's trying to like keep their job. But at the same time, I feel like some nuance would be nice.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of sensationalism, but in a bit of a different way, yesterday, the off-Broadway record-setting production Sleep No More has announced that it is extending yet again. After originally planning to close in January, it is now going to run what they are calling a, quote, final extension through May 27th. The production said, quote, "We've heeded your call. Thanks to an outpouring of admiration as we bid a final farewell, we are honored to announce the final extension of Sleep No More through May 27th, 2024. I mean, we'll see. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I don't think you were on that episode, Grace, where like they're in a fight with their landlord. And so I don't know what's going on here. I guess this gives me more of an opportunity to see it, because I've still never seen Sleep No More. But it's not a bad marketing thing, Grace. We talk so much about how when they release information about shows, they do it in drips. And we've seen Broadway and off-Broadway shows do these kind of continual extensions for as long as they can. Like, from a marketing perspective, for a show that's been running for well over a decade, like, I guess it kind of makes sense in terms of like just trying to get people aware of the fact that you still exist and they have a little bit more time to see it before it closes.
I certainly had forgotten about this production before they had announced that they were extending and that they were potentially closing. It makes sense. So I'm glad that they have done this for sure.
Yeah. There's a cynical side of me that thinks, have they always been planning on going through May and then have just kind of been stoking the fire to get more people interested? Maybe, could be, and I wouldn't put it past the folks at Sleep No More, but hopefully however long they have left is very successful. All right, one show that we know is closing off-Broadway and fairly soon is Eddie Izzard's one-person version of Hamlet. It has just recently moved from the Greenwich House Theater to the Orpheum Theater, where it will continue through April 14th. However, after that, in fact, the very next week, Izzard is going to take the show to the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, where it will run from April 19th through May 4th. And then later that month, it'll go across the pond over to London's Riverside Studios, where it will play from May 23rd through June 30th. All right, Grace, the feel-good recommendation that I have comes to us from The Tonight Show. But this is, to bring it back to your marketing perspective, this is how you do a late night performance as far as I'm concerned. The cast of The Who's Tommy did a medley on The Tonight Show. And of course, it opened not only with the star Ali Lewis-Borsgi singing the major song Pinball Wizard, but he is accompanied by the one and only Pete Townsend, of course, originally from The Who, the writer of many of the songs, if not all the songs in Tommy. So even if you haven't seen the show, even if you don't know the show, even if you think the movie is really creepy like I do, and I'm a little, was always been weirded out by it, these songs are so iconic that seeing Pete Townsend not only play with it and then, but also sing with Ali is very cool. And I think also something that is going to grab a lot of people in the proper age demographic to be interested in coming and seeing this show on Broadway.
I agree. If you're going to get that kind of younger generation that might not have face familiarity with Pete Townsend and The Who, the best thing for you to do to merge that gap is to probably have a younger person, especially the lead of your show, performing this opposite him. Because then if somebody is watching this with their family or whatnot, they could say, oh my God, I can't believe Pete Townsend is still playing this. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Read, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Thursday, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.